This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, what's the video by Billy on Cradle Love? You know, have you seen that video?
Cradle of Love.
No.
No.
White Wedding, I've seen.
What? Oh, White Wedding? Yeah. I don't like that song. It's too slow for me.
Can I spoil what you just said to me off air?
What?
You go, oh, Billy Idol, I didn't know you liked this song, Rebel Yell.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't. I play things that I think that are hits that people are going
to
like.
Yeah. Now, where do you find them, though? Because it's an interesting database that seems to change by the day.
It's called My Brain.
My Brain.
It's all about what's up in here. I love music. I would like to think that I have a very vast, eclectic musical taste.
I would agree that you do, though I was very surprised when this came up the other day with me and Sal. I think it was 3RQ when we were talking about Val Kilmer, that you never saw The Doors movie with Val.
I love The Doors. Specifically, my father put me onto The Doors. So, I have tons of great songs from them that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I just was not into them as much. And again, it's a weird thing. I think I've talked to you about this before, too. I don't really like movies based off of things that I like. Like, I don't really need to see a documentary. Even though it's not a documentary, it's a real movie. You know,
more of a depiction.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to see it. Like, I have my vision of it, yeah. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think somebody like that in the 60s and 70s, when did Morrison die? Whatever it was, that period.
Was it 70?
I think it was 70 or 71. And
I went and visited his grave.
Where is it?
It's in Paris.
Is it really?
Yeah. There was a lot. That's where I met an adult film star.
Guy or a girl?
A girl.
Oh, let's guess here.
You're not going to know her name.
I remember a bunch of them from back in the day.
You're not going to know her name.
Come on, what's her name?
Her name was Penny Flame.
Penny Flame?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
Really?
Not
you,
that
you
way.
Met her? Met and hung out with her?
We hung out for the whole... I've pictures
you
of myself.
You hooked up with her?
No.
I don't mean to be so forward, but you said you met a porn star.
We hung out all day. We chilled. We met up there. They were drinking and doing some other things.
What did you hook up with her?
I wasn't in the mood. It was...
What?
Because I got to be honest with you, at the end of the night, it was a long day, and we were traveling to like 7 different areas.
Okay.
And like spending like 7 days, 10 days. And I had no interest in doing
anything. Drink a Red Bull, dude. That doesn't cross the table too often.
No. I have a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower, though.
I got you. Well, I was going to ask you before I get back to the calls here. So you said your dad turned you on to The Doors, right?
The Doors, yeah.
This will give a good sense of how we are very different. Although I'm eclectic, too, with my musical taste here. Like, when you close your eyes and get the soundtrack from your home as a kid, what your mom and dad were playing.
Yes.
What do you hear? Give me two or three groups or...
Jim Croce... Bob Seger.
Oh, wait, Jim, I like Jim Croce. What's that? Leroy Brown. Leroy Brown. That's a good one. All right, Croce, who else?
He loved the ELO. He still does, and again, he's alive. He loves ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, which I love too.
Okay, I know him a little bit. Yep.
They were into like a lot of folk stuff, but the Beatles, Beatles used to be on repeat all the time. Sgt. Pepper's.
All right. Well, those are classics. You can't quibble with those. I got a little bit of everything. I got like a lot of Kenny Rogers from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of doo-wop from my dad, Four Seasons, all that stuff. I mean, when we would drive to Long Island to see family, friends. It was torture because we're going out to Blue Point and you got to go on the Bell Parkway and the Southern State. It would take for hours during the summer. And he would make us listen to 101, the oldie station. I'm like,
I love doo-wop, though. That was more.
Oh, I like it now. I didn't like it when I was 9 years old. I get a little Michael Jackson.
Are you kidding me?
The Police?
Oh, no. Doo-wop was always good. And listen, I learned that more from my grandparents than anything else. My grandparents were big on the doo-wop.
Okay. And I also heard a lot of disco, like Donna Summer. My mom would play Donna Summer. Hey, don't be shaking your head at Donna Summer.
Only,
take it easy.
That is the era. That's why I don't like the 70s as much, because I'm not a disco guy.
The 70s, I know you despise it.
I do.
I know you do. And it's funny, though, because the beginning of the 70s was a bleeding over of Woodstock, et cetera. Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, you know, Creedence Clearwater. I could just go on and on. But then as you get to the mid-ish and then the late 70s, it's disco. You couldn't have two polar opposites.
I know. And by the way, just to clear up, Jim Morrison died in 1971.
There you go.
Croce died in 73. I remember that one.
It was that early.
Yeah. I think he got into a big... bed. I think it was a plane accident, a plane crash.
Croce had some bangers. Like, if I hear that on 70s on 7, which I pop that on once in a while, I'll keep his music on. I like Croce.
Time in a bottle. That's my jam.
There you go. All right, let's get back to the calls. PT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Is that SY? Is that how we say it, Hoffy? Out in Brooklyn. What's up, SY?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
One quick question about the Mets, then I'll hang up.
We can have a conversation. You don't have to hang up. You don't have to hit and run. Let's talk it through. What do you got?
Yeah. Why don't the Mets just keep Acuna up or Beatty? Just, I don't care which one. Just let one of them get going up here, and then maybe he'll get good. If he's not, give him a month and then switch.
Well, I mean, they might. I mean, the season started a week and a half ago. So what you're saying is you would send one of them down
McNeil's
now?
McNeil's coming back.
No, I know. I understand that. So who do you like better? I mean, you got to like Acuna better than Beatty, right? Because he could do more.
Nah, see, we saw him in spring training. You see what he could do.
I was leading the Beatty train for a little bit here. I just don't know if he's ever going to find it here. What's happening,
Just
Hoffy?
An update, too, because Mendoza spoke a little while ago. Francisco Alvarez is starting a rehab assignment in Port St. Lucie tomorrow.
Okay.
Jeff McNeil is going to start later this week. He was at Citi Field a little while ago, like warming up, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
But then I think he's flying down to Port St. Lucie to start to warm up because it's not very warm here.
No, he's going to start ramping things up. Well, Alvarez was actually at opening day. I remember he caught a bullpen for Senga. We talked about that. So, all right. You know, it's funny, even though they lost yesterday, I've been in a pretty good mood with the Yanks. It's fun watching these young kids assert themselves. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting Heel and Schmidt back and obviously getting the pitching better and seeing Devin Williams do better than he's looked so far. But I've enjoyed the start to the season. But then I read something yesterday. I'm like, here we go. The first DJ LeMahieu is on track for blah, blah, blah. And, Dolph, you saw that because you're shaking your head. You're the executive producer for the Yankees. If they shove DJ LeMahieu down our throats, I'm going to lose it. He can't play anymore. He's done. Now you tell me about the 20-day rehab, which I believe is the max, and, you know, the calf, and he's going to ramp things up. Like, that's supposed to excite us. And I'm not here to disparage a really good player. You know, a proud veteran, but he's done. You can't have a youth movement and then, you know, try to wedge DJ LeMahieu back into the equation. I will say this. I don't think they will. You know, I understood why. All right. He put in some time this winter, best shape of his life. Where do you hear that? He's ready to go. He's fully healthy. Really focused on conditioning and stretching and running, blah, blah, blah. Didn't really swing a bat. He's just ready to get in shape. And then he gets hurt basically on the second or third day. But I understood at least before that happened, like, why the Yankees would say, all right, I'm going to go back to the well once more with DJ. His contract's not up. We don't really have a third baseman that's distinguished himself yet. We're not paying $70 million for Arenado with the St. Louis Cardinals. So we'll see what he has. And we'll do a little platoon mix and match. But they have to see... No, not that third base has been amazing. I mean, Peraza's had a couple of big hits. You know, I like Cabrera twice a week. So I guess maybe in their minds they're like, well, you know, let's just get the final answer. I just don't think he's viable anymore. Like, I don't know how he just looks. He looks like a softball player. Like, he's morphed into from a really amazing textbook, all fields, high contact, you know, up the middle, line drive hitter that you would teach a high school kid. Like, that's a great approach to a guy who can't even move. And I saw that. I'm like, I don't want to start getting peppered with DJ LeMahieu articles. I'm not interested. It's not happening. At least I hope it doesn't.